I'm Blake Collins.
And unlike Blake, I'm Nick Devadas.
And welcome to The Health Quest.
The Doolander's Health Quest. Yes, this is the series when we talk to experts in health and wellness about their top advice for people over 40.
Let's do it. Hey, Sam Whaley, welcome to The Doolander's. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Our absolute pleasure. How are you, Nick?
Good. The sun is finally out here in Melbourne.
It is.
Everyone's a lot happier.
Like, just one of the most perfect summer days out there. Hey, Sam, on the Doolanders, Nick and I are in this pursuit of living forever, where we've created what we call the health quest. We're talking to all of these super smart people about how to get the most out of our lives as we grow older. We always like to ask our guests, Sam, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Sam Whaley. I'm an exercise physiologist based in Melbourne. I'm the author of the book Age is an Attitude, and I'm partner in a clinical gym, exercise physiology gym called Medical High Performance. MedHP for short.
MedHP for short. I've already got a million questions. I love the title of your book, Age is an Attitude. Hey, mate, what is a exercise physiologist?
Yeah, I always get asked this question, actually. An exercise physiologist, I guess, specializes in giving exercise advice and exercise programs for people with clinical conditions. So it's a pretty broad scope of practice. On one end, you've got musculoskeletal conditions, so, you know, your regular back pain, knees, hips, shoulders, necks, all those types of things. And on the complete other end of the spectrum, it's oncology, it's cardiovascular disease, diabetes, those types of things. So it's a pretty broad scope of practice, but it keeps it interesting, keeps us on our toes.
I bet it does. Hey, quick question. How do I know when to come and see a you or just to go to the gym?
It's a good question. I guess exercise physiologists, we're tertiary trained, so we've got at least 4 years of university underneath us, plus clinical hours of placement and those types of things. So generally speaking, if you're just looking at getting a little bit fit and your body's feeling good, there's no aches and pains, that kind of thing, then, you know, a PT or even your own gym program would work quite well. But if you're on the side of the spectrum that is a bit nervous about their body, a bit unsure about what it needs and how to go about it, then you'd seek out an exercise physiologist who can work through some of those things with you and steer you in the right direction.
Got it. Makes sense to me. Now, as you look into the Microsoft Teams and you can see both Nick and I, the reality is that one of us is over 50. Yeah, it's me, unfortunately. Anyway, I am.
So, you guys are doing well. You're doing well with you guys. It's
all the surgery. I wouldn't have guessed that. It's the surgery.
And the baby blood.
Hollywood at home.
Exactly right. So you wrote a book called Age is an Attitude. So why? Yes. Why did you put pen to paper and push that out into the world?
Oh, look, you know, it was one of those things. So as I said before, exercise physiologist, I've been an exercise physiologist for about 12 years. And part of our scope of work is we see a lot of referrals from doctors. And it just became apparent to me, I kept getting the same profile of client or patient. And they'd come in and their bodies would be a bit banged up, or, you know, I can't get out of a chair, or I'm losing my balance, or you know, I've got this heart condition and my doctor said I should go and see you, with really no other context. And so I'd end up in these initial consults and having this familiar conversation with each person as it came in, and what do you do for exercise and what have you done? And it always started the same way, in that, you know, I used to be fit, and that's how everyone starts their conversation.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how long ago was that? And, you know, 15 years ago, I used to do this, or, you know, 5 years ago, I used to do that. And the reality is that exercise, it's a constantly evolving beast, and you need to be constantly moving your body to keep it strong and to keep it fit. And quite often these people had fallen off the wagon somewhere along the line and needed some help getting back on. So the book actually started, it was just going to be exercise programs for people. And as I was sort of sitting down and beginning to write these programs, you know, programs for back pain and programs for cardiovascular disease and all these categories of the kind of work that I do, I thought, well, it's important to give it some context as well. And people are going to be more engaged with their exercise program if they understand the mechanisms behind it and the reasons for it and that type of thing. So I went from a program to a program with a little bit of information to a program with a lot of information. And then I thought, well, if I'm educating them about their condition, I should probably just educate them about exercise in general. What kind of exercise is going to be good for this condition and why? And it just sort of evolved from that. It was this, which was a little frustrating because I thought it was going to be a 3-month job and it ended up being about 2 years. So, and many hours of sort of pondering over paper or MacBook.
Yeah. Hard work to write a book, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it, but part of it as well for me was making it or writing it in a language that was easy to digest. And I'm a bit of an exercise nerd, and the people I work with are a bit of an exercise nerds, but my clients not necessarily as immersed in it as I am. And so to tell them all the nitty-gritty details from a physiology perspective or from an exercise perspective about what's going on might have been a little dry. So I wanted to write it in a way that was relatable and easy to understand, easy to interpret, and easy to implement. So part of the time, I think, was just making it in or writing it in language that that people could enjoy. And then visually as well, that was a big part of it, not just having pages and pages of writing, but trying to have, you know, pictures and colour and brightness in what can otherwise be a little mundane sometimes.
It's a challenging area, I reckon, writing programs for people, because fundamentally, if you push and pull heavy things, you'll get stronger. If you eat salads over burgers, you'll probably lose a little bit of weight. How does it, can you give our audience a bit of a sense of what is actually happening at a smaller level? Because, you know, yeah, eat a salad, you're better off than eating the burger. But what's actually happening when you improve your nutrition, when you start lifting heavy weights or, you know, any sort of weight? What's actually happening down there?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a lifestyle upheaval, isn't it? And, you know, there's these components of well-being, which, you know, everyone talks about exercise, and then there's diet, and then there's sleep, and there's stress, and there's community or social interaction. So there's these, you know, pillars of health that are really important. But from an exercise sense, which is generally where I sit in the spectrum, as people get older, their bodies start to change. And, you know, physically, we reach our peak at around about 30, give or take 30 or 35. That's where we're, you know, got the biggest muscles that we're going to get, and our bones are as strong as they're going to be. And generally speaking, we're pretty tuned in, we're pretty healthy, and things are good. But it's also that period of time where, you know, the subtle process of aging starts to kick in. And if we're not proactive about it, you know, over time, that age decline starts to become, you start to notice the effects on the body. And so, you know, we talk about from a cardiovascular sense, we've got a measurement of cardiovascular fitness, which is called your VO2 max.
Yep.
And your VO2 max, you know, you talk about Tour de France bike riders, massive VO2 max and great capacity to use oxygen. And everyone, I suppose, across the board has some level of cardiovascular potential and fitness. But after 30, that potential starts to decline. And so from a VO2 max, we see a decline of around about 10% per decade, give or take. And so if you talk about not doing anything about your fitness, nothing about your strength, you know, what you're at 35 becomes 10% less at 45, 10% less at 55. And, you know, over time, this becomes a problem, and you're out of breath. You're out of breath doing easy things, and, you know, that then affects your quality of life and, you know, your ability to travel and play with your grandkids and all that type of thing. So getting ahead of it, being proactive about addressing it, staying fit, doing things that get your heart rate elevated are all ways of combating that and stopping that age-related decline. And the same thing goes for your muscle mass. You know, as I said before, your peak muscle mass is around about 30 or 35, after which, you know, if you're not addressing it, it starts to slide away. And once we reach 50, that can be up to 3 to 5% of your muscle mass per decade. So it really is something that you need to be proactive about. You've got to keep your muscles strong. You've got to keep your bones healthy. You've got to move your body. You've got to shake it. Otherwise, you know, things become a problem later. It's very much a prevention thing. Prevention is better than cure. So get ahead.
Got it. Before my next question, my Garmin tells me that my VO2 max is that of a 20-year-old. Can I believe it?
Well, you look like a 20-year-old, so yeah, I can.
Sammy, you can come back any day. You can come back any day.
No, look, I mean, I can believe, and you know, I suppose having a podcast that talks about the content that you guys talk about, you guys are conscious about your health and your fitness and your well-being. So, and this is the thing, if you're conscious and you're proactive about moving your body and staying fit and exercising enough, then this is you reap the rewards, and that's the VO2 max of a 20-year-old.
Got it. So with exercise and diet and eating right, can we reverse what you've just explained? Can we, in fact, put on more muscle mass? Can we improve our cardiovascular fitness and increase our bone density?
Yeah.
And for how long?
Yeah. So yes is the short answer. Look, what you can essentially do is you can maintain the level of function and independence and fitness that you currently have. And, you know, for those who are regular exercisers, regular strength trainers, then it's just about continuing to do what you're doing. And there's no reason why your body should slide away like it would for those who don't do anything. But you generally see the biggest results and the biggest changes in strength and fitness from those who have not done much and then all of a sudden get inspired and start to move. So if you're an exerciser, it's important to keep going, and you'll find that, as I said, your body should really not give you too much grief. If you're not doing anything, then it's probably a good time to start looking at doing something and start small. And that's the other major bit of, I suppose, a lot of the advice I give to my clients is people's perception of exercise and what they need to do to get strong, to get fit, is often very, very different to the reality of it. And, you know, you can break it up into bite-sized pieces if you haven't done anything for a while and still get a really good benefit. You know, that there's been studies that have shown, you know, 10-minute blocks of exercise broken up over the day. So, you know, you do your three 10-minute blocks broken up over the day can still give you the same kind of benefit as one block of 30 minutes. So you don't have to just go bang straight at it and right, try and run a marathon. You can start small and build and get good effect.
So what would someone start with? Because I think that's often the biggest fear factor for someone who, you know, 15 years ago was fit. And now they go, oh, I'm just going to run 5Ks again or run 10Ks because I used to be able to do that. What's your advice for people wanting to start out? Like how, you know, these 10 blocks, are you walking, starting with walking, or are you just going straight to the gym? What are you doing?
Very much. Yeah, look, it really is starting. And part of the discussion initially is also getting a gauge for one, how long it's been since they've exercised, what level of exercise they were at prior to stopping anyway. But certainly making sure, because what will happen, people will stop exercising and then they just pick up where they left off. The brain sort of forgets that they might have 5 years in the wilderness, and we just sort of pick up and expect that we can go and run 5K or lift whatever amount of weight or do your 20 push-ups. But the reality is we've got to sort of work back towards that. So if that becomes, you know, a 5K run, there's a great app which is just called Couch to 5K, and it's just that gradual progression into moving again and walk jog, and just start small. But it's just being consistent. You just need to be consistent and be regular, and before you know it, your body will be back to that 5K. But you need to think of it as about a 12-week process to get back to something that is the level of sort of movement and activity that that you should really be sticking at once you get there.
Got it. What's your plan as you age? So, like, you're an expert, and should we copy what you're about to say? What's your plan for the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, I'm probably one of the lucky ones in that I've always played sport. I love exercise. It gives me that sense of satisfaction that I'm like, completely addicted to it. And so for me, exercising regularly and moving my body, I really enjoy. So from that sense, exercise is always going to be a part of my life because it keeps me calm and it puts me in a good headspace. And also I work in that realm. So it's sort of a bit like the broke accountant kind of philosophy, yeah. Analogy, isn't it? You know, if you walk in to see your exercise physiologist and they're limping towards you with a beer gut, it's not good for business. So I'm always going to move, but you know, I think if you're healthy in one aspect, then you want to be healthy in others. So regular exercise, you generally want to eat a little bit better. You generally enjoy your sleep because you need your rest. And so one thing feeds the other. A big challenge for me has been trying to find types of exercise that keeps me engaged on a long-term level. And, you know, I chop and change a little bit as well. That might be swimming or it might be weight training and boxing and all that. I try to always keep it...
Mix it up.
Fresh, yeah, mix it up. Right. And I think that's important as well. Your body likes a change and it likes a new stimulus and it's good to learn a new skill and those types of things. So in that aspect, I can't see myself stopping or slowing down by any measure. I think
to what age
I can,
like, how do you, like, when you think about, you know, you in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and you know, to what age? What do you reckon?
Well, my oldest client is 94.
Get
and
out.
He comes in twice a week. And he lifts and he weight trains and he does a bit of cardio stuff and he does lots of balance work. And obviously the goalposts shift a little bit, and what you want to sort of demand from your body is not quite so severe as what I would now. But I really can't see that there's no full stop on it. And that's what I try and tell people is that really, as long as you can move, you can be doing something. And even if it's small, it's gentle, it's better than nothing. Some exercise is always better than nothing, and more is better than a little. So there's no age, there's no stop. It's just keep moving until I don't know.
Until you can't move anymore.
And then you've probably had enough, haven't you? Yeah, you've probably had enough by then. So
I love that. 94.
So, yeah.
There's a goal. Stay in the gym.
It's pretty
94.
Gym till 94 at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty
exactly.
good, isn't it?
That is amazing. And what's his demeanor like? Is he, you know, a happy guy up and about?
he's got his ups and downs. He's generally pretty happy, pretty chirpy when he can hear me. But yeah, look, he's great. And rain, hail or shine, he will be there twice a week and does his home exercises outside of our sessions and plays bowls. And you know, he still does all his kids' tax returns and you know, he's one of those guys. Yeah. He's busy and you can see why. Like it helps him. So he's still sharp, he's still moving well, he's doing what he wants to be doing. So that's really the goal, isn't it? I mean, you just don't want to be locked in your body and not able to get out and do the things that you want to do. And so that's where exercise physiologists can help, or really someone who's intrinsically motivated and happy to sort of get out there and get moving. The benefits are so extensive. There's so many across the board, you know, from a health perspective, but from a lifestyle and a quality of life perspective, it's so enriching. It's so good for you. It just should be done.
Yeah.
It should be done.
You talked about, for you personally, you like to mix it up and give your body that new stimulus. Why is that important, and why do our bodies just get used to doing a certain type of exercise, and the benefits decrease?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, part of it is almost like a skill acquisition, in that our bodies become so efficient at moving in a certain way. And so whether you're bike riding and you get fit at bike riding, or whether you're a runner and you're a fit runner, or, you know, you're doing the same resistance program day in, day out for years, your body becomes very efficient and very accustomed to the movements. And so, you know, there is a point, there is a ceiling on any exercise program where it'll take your body to a point, but to sort of break those plateaus, to break that ceiling, you need to change your stimulus. And, you know, from a neurological perspective, you know, new movements, new techniques, increasing weights and increasing intensities, it challenges your body to go to a level that you hadn't challenged it in the past. And so then that breaks that ceiling. Your body will evolve, adapt, and improve to that level. And then you need to go again. Yeah. And so it's pretty amazing the way all of that works, and how adaptable your body can be to certain things if you're consistent with it. And so that's why I like it. And, you know, from a boxing sense, or from a, you know, a swimming sense, I enjoy the learning a new skill and feeling improvement with that and those types of things. So it becomes as much about, you know, the cognitive process of, yeah, you know, the skill acquisition and getting comfortable with new things in that regard as well. It keeps the brain engaged.
Cool. Hey, you've recently opened up a, I don't know whether you call it a gym or what you call it, but a MedHP, or Medical High Performance. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, MedHP. Yeah, we're a clinical gym, an exercise physiology gym. We're also essentially a gym for over 40s. And it's myself as one of the partners, and I opened it with four GPs. And we opened in January this year, softly in January, but the big opening was in April. And the idea behind it was, I'll sort of backtrack a little bit, in that I've been an exercise physiologist for about 12 years. And when I first started as an exercise physiologist, we had to sort of get around and meet GPs and explain what we do and how we can be of benefit for their patients. And as the industry has evolved, and as we've become better known, we're becoming adopted more regularly by GPs. And my business partners in MedHP, they're all GPs. And for them, it was very much a shift in getting out of the illness space and more into a wellness space. And, you know, for a lot of the conditions that their patients might have, exercise is a really, really potent treatment tool. And so rather than saying, in some instances, take this pill, they can be saying, look, you need to exercise more. Here's a space that can help you if you want your help. And sort of sending them through. So pretty refreshing, and it's great that, you know, the medicine world, I suppose, is starting to incorporate or use exercise physiology as a mainstream form of treatment for their patients. And, you know, the overall health and the well-being of the patient is the most important thing. And exercise can help in conjunction with medicine, and it's really exercise being sort of the adjunct to medicine, but look, it's a great space, and we wanted to create a gym space that was welcoming and accommodating for people who have injuries or have illnesses, or they're just unsure about their body and where they need to start. And so they can come and see us. We look after them with exercise programs, with injury rehab, with illness, all those types of things, and get fit, get strong, and get healthy.
Love it. When you look out at society today and the people that are coming into MedHP, like, what are some of the conditions where what you are prescribing in terms of exercise, where's it making the most difference, I guess? What sort of conditions does what you do turn things around?
Yeah, look, exercise helps, and this might sound really biased, and it might sound like I've, you know, drunk the potion and that's all I talk about, but there's really very little that exercise, from a clinical sense, that exercise won't bring some benefit around. Generally speaking, being a more clinical gym space, over 40s gym space, we see a lot of cardiovascular disease. We see a lot of back pain or hip replacements, that kind of thing. We see a lot of osteoporosis, tons of osteoporosis. And
What is osteoporosis?
Sorry, yeah. So osteoporosis is a loss of bone mineral density. And so it sort of goes in levels. And the preliminary process of osteoporosis is called osteopenia, which is where you have a reduced bone mineral density, but it's not quite at the clinical level yet. Osteoporosis is where your bone mineral density is of a clinical level, and your risk of fracture is high. So, from an exercise intervention, it's really important that you're doing weight bearing exercise and that you're doing resistance exercise to encourage your bone mineral to become stronger again. And so that's where weight training comes in. And I know you guys have had people on in the past talk about resistance exercise, and it really is probably underutilized type of exercise. A lot of people get out and they go for a jog or they go for a walk, but not that many people do as much or do resistance exercise. And it helps keep your bones strong, it helps keep you balanced. It builds up muscles around areas that can become vulnerable to fracture. Right. So it sort of acts as a protective mechanism, but also to treat the root of the issue as well.
Got it. Okay.
So I heard the other day on something, could be making it up completely, that your bones, they completely are regenerated every 4 years. Is that correct?
Yeah. Look, your bones are in a constant state of turnover, and there's bone mineral removal and there's bone mineral bone mineral production. Try and say that 10 times fast. So it's in this constant evolution, over time, and as we get older, the bone removal starts to exceed the production, and that's where the bone mineral density starts to decrease, and that's where it can be sort of lead down the track to osteoporosis. So I mean, these are the things. Everyone sort of thinks of bone and the inside of a bone as hard tissue, but it's actually very soft, and it's squishy, and it's something that's, it's in a constant state of turnover. So right. Amazing. Mm.
So lifting heavy. Summary?
Well, it sort of is in that, as we said before about changing the stimulus, your body stays in it. The more you move your body, the more it adapts to that level of movement. And so from a resistance training perspective, the more stress you put through your bones, the more it encourages bone growth or bone mineral density to be made. And so your bones become healthier for it. So that's where, I said before, we reach our peak bone mass, at around about 30, 35 years of age. And that's because, as a kid, you're running around and you're playing on swings and you're jumping, and you're probably your most active in those early years till 35, and life and work and those types of things gets in the way. So, if you're proactive and you're doing your strength training and you're doing your weight-bearing exercise, then it encourages your body to maintain that level of bone density. And, these conditions that can become prevalent in later life if you don't do that exercise are avoidable.
Yeah, that, Blake?
I hope that made sense. Yeah,
Blake does sides are like a crunchy bar.
What's that?
Your insides.
Okay. Yeah, like a crunchy bar. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm going to start lifting.
A crunchy bar.
Yeah. Can't you tell?
You got to lift. You got to do weight training.
You got to.
Strength training, it keeps you young, it keeps you well postured, it keeps you balanced, it keeps you mobile. These are the things, I see a lot of people over 65, and we ask them, can you get out of the chair without using your hands? Can you walk down the steps without using the handrail, or get up off the floor? this is what strength training helps. You know, it keeps you young, it keeps you mobile, it keeps you doing the things you want to be doing.
I love that. Okay, done. Hey, I've got a specific question for you. So there's a lot of people through lockdown that became, you know, probably more sedentary than ever in their lives. And I think probably for those people that are, you know, north of 60 or 70, there was less opportunity to get out. Here's a specific question for you. So my old man, he's what is he? Jeez, I hope I get this right. 78. He might be a few kgs overweight. He's got a couple of dodgy knees. He actually needs a couple of knee replacement. He's on the list. He's waiting to go in. Can't walk a long way because his knees are dodgy. Recently had a pacemaker put in because his heart was had a heart flutter and it was all over the place. What would you say to a guy who's, you know, been relatively sedentary for probably the last 3 to 4 years because of COVID and other reasons, few kgs overweight, needs to get healthy. What would you advise that he do, given he's got a couple of dodgy knees?
Yeah, and it's tough, and this is often the balance, isn't it, between exercising and working around bodies that are a little bit compromised. And post-COVID, we saw a lot of that coming out of COVID, a lot of people deconditioned, young and old, and it's been a lot of work for people to get back into the shape that they were pre-COVID, and some are still even chasing that shape. So... but, you know, for someone like your dad, there's types of exercise that you can do to maintain a level of cardiovascular fitness. So if walking is a problem for him at the moment, an exercise bike might be another sort of mode of exercise that he could do. If exercise bike is uncomfortable, which it sometimes can be for people with sore knees, hydrotherapy and getting in the water can be of benefit. So there's ways of working around things like that and sort of accommodating, I suppose, sore knees in your dad's instance.
Yep.
And still moving. So arthritic knees, we generally recommend non-weight-bearing activity if from a cardiovascular sense. So that can be bike riding, that can be hydrotherapy or swimming, those types of things. And we can sort of work around some strength training exercises that can still get their lower body strong, but without putting that same compressive load through the knee joint. So that's where an exercise physiologist or even in some instances a physiotherapist can help. But like I said before, if he hasn't done anything in a while, it's just baby steps to start off.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect segue to talk about your book, I reckon.
Yes.
What can people expect from it? Where can they get it? But really, yes, it's the book of no excuses, right? For every excuse we put up to you, it's like, well, you could be trying this, you could be trying that. Here's an easy way to introduce it into your life. Like, what can people expect from reading the book?
Yeah, look, the book evolved. The book started as exercise programs for people over 60. And I was having a familiar conversation with my clients, initial consult, and all of a sudden they're hadn't been doing the amount of activity that they had in the past. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm having this familiar conversation with everyone I see, no matter what their condition, I should start to write some exercise programs that can help with each condition. And so it became, you know, a cardiovascular exercise program, or it became a osteoarthritis exercise program, osteoporosis, which is spoken about. So all these clinical conditions that are prevalent when you're over 60. And then as that evolved, I thought, well, if I'm giving exercise programs, I should probably give them some information about the condition that they have, because the more information that you know about your condition, the more proactive you are to do something about it. So then it went to that. And then I thought, well, if I'm giving information about the condition, I should probably talk about exercise in general. So it's sort of been this snowball that has evolved. And so the book is really about giving good exercise advice for people who need good exercise advice who might have a condition that means that they're nervous about exercising, or they don't know where to start exercising, and they need some guidance. And so that's what the book's about, and it's written in ways and language that is easy to digest and gives you tools that you can use that are easy to implement. There's exercise programs that go with each condition, and it's supposed to be a useful tool, a manual to help improve your six-pack, get you strong, and get you back on deck.
Love it.
Where can you get it?
You can get it. The best place to get it is actually from the website, which is www.ageisanattitude.com.au. We're in some independent bookshops, but the best, easiest way would be through the website.
Well, that's I'm getting it. Sounds like a great read over Christmas. Hey, mate, just before we go, and you've been super generous with your time, what's on your to-do list? So you've written a book, you've opened up MedHP. What's next on Sam Whaley's to-do list?
Sleep.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty happy at the moment. I think I'd just like to let the gym and let the book just get it to a nice work-life balance.
Yep.
After which I'm going to have to do something, aren't I? It's watch this space. I'm not sure yet, Blake, but it'll be something good.
Well, we can't wait to see what you do next. Sam, thank you so much for your time. Some absolute great advice there. And if anyone out there is listening who reckons they can benefit, and I reckon everybody can, from what Sam's putting down.
Blake's dad could.
He sure can.
Personal consult.
Grab the book. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sending him the MedHP.
I'll send him a copy. Yeah. Please do.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Bye.